others by their own service, day and night. They empower the others as well to serve Sri Bhagavan. So we'll try doing Shravan Kirtan at the glories of the Bhaktas. This is the best sadhana. He's a Raghavmik Rajavasi. The followers of the Raghavmik Rajavasi, the Raghavnagas, Rupanagas. If we don't listen to the Shravan Kirtan, then we are bound to be the slaves of Maya. No one will be able to save us, because there's no other way to save oneself from Maya. Therefore, we should try to remember their lives as much as possible into Kirtan. And the Samanda Bhaktas have towards Bhagavan, you should remember that. Today we heard all these beautiful leaders of Maharaj. Once Maharaj, he goes in Mathura, there are many dharmashalas on the banks of the Yamuna. There in between, they call Maharaj. And all the devotees from the four sampradayas would come there. And Gurudev was not just the chief guest. The Anuragi Jans. Parikars of Raj. Everyone would listen to his katha, knowing that he was of Raja Parikar. Therefore they would invite him. And this way the entire assembly, consisting of some scholars, would take place. So there Maharaj would say that every dust particle of Raj is the spirit of bhakti. Permeates every particle of dust in Vraj. So, an intelligent person, he achieves everything by this dust of Vraj. Uddhava has prayed, Brahma has also prayed, not just in his Brahmasthiti, but he has also prayed to achieve the mercy of this Vraja dust. This is the dust of Vraj. And he said, then, Srinam, these trees of Raj, these ladies of Raj, if I can only achieve one particle of dust of the lotus feet, I offer prayers just one particle of dust to the lotus feet. Brahma said, I don't have this good fortune of being born in Raj, but if I have this great fortune of how these sweeper ladies, they sweep the entire day, they sweep all the drains. And in the evening, they rub their feet on stones. Why? To rub the dust off their feet. So Brahma is saying, even if I could become that stone, then the ladies, they'll rub their feet on my head, and my life will become successful. So he is prayed to the dust of Raj. And leaving aside this dust of Raj, what is their need to go to any part of this world? What can one possibly achieve if he goes to any part of this world, leaving this dust of Raj aside? What can he possibly achieve? Therefore, this is the dust of Raj. Vraja means this is very special dust. Raj means dust and V means Vishesh Rupena. Very special dust. This dust you cannot find anywhere else. See, this dust of Raj can give you now the entire Shakti of Raj is present in these dust particles. Just as when the soil is fertile, if you plant something, then automatically the plant will grow with many fruits and flowers. And this way, the plant tree says, Jesse, I have taken shelter of Mother Earth, I have taken shelter of this soil, and just see how much sweetness is present within me. Because of this. On Sai Prabhupada, he went to the West. There many scientists came to interview him. And they said, that you have left your country, what can you possibly give us? What is so special that you have then that we don't have, that you can give us? What is that astonishing thing that you have? And he said, you're big scientists. So I only ask you one thing. I'll give you 1 ton of mud. Can you do some research and find out how much grains, ghee, oil, sweetness can be extracted from that 1 ton of mud? If you can extract all these things out, then you're really worthy of calling yourself scientists, researchers. Sounds they couldn't answer then. Because how could they possibly extract from the sand, from this mud? You see, all the potencies are present within this soil of Mother Earth. You can get as many medicines as you want, different kinds of food, everything, fragrance from Mother Earth. And this is never depleted, finished. It is always everlasting. And you just see again, everything returns to Mother Earth. So, Swami Maharaji said, you don't realize how much potency is present in this dust of Raj. Sadhguru Brahma, he is Bhagavan's son, the creator of this world. This Brahma himself, he hasn't prayed to the dust of other places present in the 14 planetary systems. He has prayed to the dust of Raj, especially. Though he is a disciple of Brihaspati, dear friend of Krishna, He is, sir. When can I be a shrub, herb, in this Vrindavan? When will such good fortune be mine? When I can be a creeper here, or blade of grass, herb, will this hell be absorbed? And say, the Vrajavasis, they'll accept me because now I'm not so useful. I pray to this dust of Raj that I can be qualified for this world, because I'm very unqualified, very fallen. Proud? What can I possibly do? I see that there's no one more intelligent than me. But here I'm saying, then this dust of Raj, whose foot dust? Then he says, Madan Madhavim Shvikyam. Then all the Shrutis, Vedas, Upanishads, they're always looking for him, searching for him. Still they cannot find him. And they cannot possibly understand the potency that is present when the dust of Raj. So Maharaj would explain that, you see, in this Rajbhumi, if anyone sleeps here, then he gets the fruit of offering Dandavat Pranam. And if he is wandering here and there, he gets the fruit of doing Parikrama. When he speaks even mundane things, he gets the fruit of doing Kirtan in Braj. And if he does all, practice the limbs of Bhakti with faith, Bhakti, and puts the dust of Raj on his head, offers Pranam, then when he prays, and just see what he'll achieve. Those are ignorant. Very proud. They have no faith in the dust of Raj. Therefore they're wandering here and there. So time Gurudev will be explaining that dust of Raj has such shakti. How did Raj become instilled with such shakti? Now that today, tomorrow, and then the shakti is lost. Now the shakti is everlasting. was present. Not that it was present during Krishna's time. Now it's no longer present. It's always present. Ever existing. Here, in this 54-mile bridge, all the Shri Maharshis, Brahmashis, Tapasis, Rajasis, Kandashis, Tapasis, there's no such person who has come here and not attained Siddhi. Yes, everyone has attained Siddhi. Easily meeting shelter of this Rajaraj. No need to do any sadhanas. No need to tapasya, hatha yoga. Wherever you go, you'll get this dust. Wherever you go, you get all these things. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami said in the Bhagavatam that why should you worry in Braj? Will you not get food? You see, the sadhus and those, they get so many things that they have to, they themselves have to distribute other, their things to others. Because what is the use of collecting all these things? Amassing all these things. No, I won't get big share. Where we will get? Everyone is ready to give you something. Think, oh, I don't have water to drink. And as you can see, the Yamuna is flowing right here. There's so many kundas. Just take a drink water from them. And someone says, oh, the fruit, the trees are not giving any fruits and flowers. Where will I eat? Where will I stay? Oh, there's so many caves. If you can't find any cave, then it will take shelter of the Rajavasis. They will make a nice kutia for you. Nice place for you to stay. All of them have come to Braj. You just say, you see, whoever has come to Braj, you see, they're all staying in palaces now. Big buildings. Who's providing all these things? Sukadeva Goswami is saying, is there any person who has come to Braj and is suffering? There's no such person. Sukadeva Goswami would say, that in Mathura, my grandfather, who's Parsara Rishi, father of Vyasadeva's father, Sukadeva Goswami. So once Parsara Rishi, he met with all the Rishis, Maharshis, and he was thinking, what should we do during these 4 months of Chaturmasya? So he crossed the river, he went to the other side. Because all the Rishis used to be on the other side of the river, Durvasa, Dattraya, Parashar, Yagyavalka, Harit, Gautam, Saptarshitila, Ambarishtila, many Rishis, they'd stay on the other side of the Yamuna in Mathura. So at that time, when the time of Chaturmasya was appearing, then he came this way to Vrindavan village and he met with all the devotees and he said, where should we follow Chaturmasya this time? So when he was leaving, it was very dark. It was raining so much. So Yamuna is not just small like how she is now. She was very broad, very wide. She was flooding her banks. Waves were rising in the Yamuna, accompanied by these huge roars. So Maharaj Parshara Rishi, he went to the bank of the Yamuna. And he told one boatman, oh, take me across. My Chaturmasya is starting. You know, I cannot stay here. He said, oh Maharaj, you just rest, relax for some time. It's raining so much, not very dark. I cannot see anything. Also, I'm very old, so how can I take you across? Just stay here, and whatever you need, I'll make all the arrangements. Just take rest. You do your dhyan, jap, tapa, and I'll take in the morning. And Parshadarshi said, no. I cannot stay in the home of a householder. I'll have to go to my ashram. But he wouldn't listen. He was very stubborn. Then she had one daughter, Matsiganda. Because she had the smell of a fish. So no one would go near her. She was very beautiful. But her bodily fragrance was very bad. Like sometimes you see some people come from other countries and they smell so much, you cannot even tolerate the smell coming from them. Sometimes when these people come from other countries and they smell so much, I think they are all the descendants of Matsyagandha. They are all her followers. Because they smell so bad. Now I am used to their smell, so I don't care anymore. No. Now I am used to smelling them so much. Now I have lost my own sense of smell. No. So I say, Matsyagandha, she is smelling so much. So the Maharshi was thinking, she is smelling so much. She doesn't stay in the water. How does she smell like a fish? Then her father said, your daughter, oh, you don't smell like this, but where does your daughter smell this way? Where does she smell like a fish? And he said, oh Maharaj. He said, oh, I'm a boatman. Once I received a big fish. So a dead fish. And I opened the fish open. Then saw this beautiful girl lying in this fish. And I started raising this girl as my own daughter. And this lady, she said, oh Maharaj, if you desire, then I'll take you on the other side. If father gives me order, I'll take you on the other side. I know how to row the boat. And she said, oh, your daughter, you cannot take him across. See, Yamuna is flowing very swiftly. He said, no, father, don't give any pain to the Rishi. I'll take him across. And then this way, she tried rowing across. But the flow of the Yamuna was very swift. The boat was being washed away. And then somewhere it got stuck in the middle of the darkness. It got stuck somewhere. And anyhow, she tried pulling the boat, but still she couldn't. Meanwhile, there was a flash of lightning. And the Rishi saw Matsyagandha. And by his glance, he made her conceive a child. And this child was immediately born. And she became very shy. What has just happened? This Rishi is so old, so aged. And just by his glance, he's given me a child now. Now my chastity is gone. And he's a 16-year-old boy. Very effulgent. He was born on an island. He was blackish. And she was very golden. And he was... And the Rishi was a little blackish. And the sun was also a little blackish. Darkish. They say the sun offered pranams to both. His mother and father. And the father, he told his 16-year-old son. So here in Braj, there's Badri Kedar, Chardham. You go there. And you write all the Shastras. Vedant, Upanishad. Sruti Smriti Puran, Itihas, Bhagavad. You write all these different scriptures there. And for some time, you meditate. And by your samadhi, you'll realize everything. And you'll manifest everything. Said, how can I do everything alone? Then he said, then Bhagavan Narayan himself is present in Badrikashram. He will empower you. And he will, Ganesh himself will be your scribe. He'll be your scribe and he'll write down everything. Your Puran, Veda, Upanishad, Smriti, Shruti, everything. So when you offer pranams, he told his mother that whenever there's need, you remember me and I'll immediately appear. And then Rishi blessed him, saying, now your chastity will not be lost. You'll always remain untouched. And this, smell of a fish will go away forever. And the king of this entire place will marry you and you'll become his queen. And your youth will never be lost. You'll never be old. So then he blessed her, this Parsha Rishi, and he left. And by the mercy of the Rishi, the Matsyagandha returned to her father. Then she was no longer smelling. She was even more beautiful than before. And so she didn't tell anything to her father that I had a son, nothing. And she said, do you take the Rishi across? And she nodded her head. And she said, oh, my daughter is very qualified. Meanwhile, on the other day, Maharaj Shantanu, he came from Hastinapur. Shantanu, first he had married Ganga Devi. So Ganga Devi, she had made him promise that whatever I do, you should never question me. If you question me, then I'll leave you immediately. So what did she do? She'd have one son, and she'd put the son and throw him inside the Ganga. Shantanu became very, became mad, saying, I just had seven sons, and she threw all seven sons inside the Ganga. And the eighth son also she started taking away. Then he couldn't tolerate it anymore. And he said, seven sons of mine, you've just thrown them in the Ganga. Now this, at least this one son you give to me. She said, alright, here, I'm leaving you now. Now I'll not stay with you anymore. And she left. And he was weeping so much in separation from her, but still she did not return. And then she said, if you want me to look after the boy, just leave him on the banks of the Ganga, and I'll take him on my lap, and I'll look after him. And she also told this small boy, that whenever you feel the need to meet your mother, just think about me, and I'll appear. So Shantanu, his son, became a very effulgent, very strong boy. His name was Devrata. He was so beautiful. His body was very well built. So this way, so then, there, Shantanu, he came to the forest to hunt. Because this is, the kings especially, they like to hunt. Just like killing animals in the forest. So when he came there, he saw Matsyaganda. And he changed her name from Matsyaganda to, now the rishi named her Satyavati. And Satyavati, when he saw her, he became crazy. Then he told the boatman, Shantanu Maharaj, give me your daughter. I'll make her my queen. And he said, not at any cost. He said, why not? Because your son Devrata is very beautiful, very effulgent. So this way, if he wants, he can marry my daughter, but not you. The king became very sad, then he returned home. And then he stopped eating, drinking, just locked himself from inside and he was crying the whole time. It seemed he would die. So then the ministers came. And they asked him, and he wouldn't say anything. Then Devrata asked him so much, tried his fault so much, but he didn't tell anything to him as well. He wouldn't eat, sleep, nothing. Being absorbed and thinking about her, he became lost. He became mad, crazy. He became very thin. And anyhow, they brought her back to external consciousness. So Devrata, he asked, how can I make my father happy again? Then they said, only you can do so. And he said, how? I'm ready to give my life for my father. Then they said, your father, he went to Mathura Mandal to hunt. There he saw one lady. She became so attracted that he now he can no longer forget her or leave her. So they said, what is wrong in this? King can have 1,000 wives also. I immediately go speak to her. So Bhishma, then he went Devrata. And he said, this boatman became very angry, very happy. Oh, now you've come, I'll marry my daughter to you. He said, yes, okay, give me your daughter. But this daughter is not for me. She is for my father. He said, no. I'll never give her away to you, your father. He said, I am a boatman, but my daughter, she'll not be a maidservant in your kingdom. Because you're the prince. So if my daughter will have children, then they will become your servants. And my daughter will become maidservant. How can I let them stay in such a condition? He said, no. I promised that I will not be a king ever. So then they said, what if you don't become the king? What about the children? They might want to become, because the elder son of the because they are son of the elder prince, he becomes the king. He said, I'll never marry. He said, I still don't believe you. Then he said, I make this promise that I'll never marry. I'll always remain lifelong brahmachari. So give me a daughter at least now. Then he took his daughter and offered her to Shantanu Maharaj. And he married Shantanu Maharaj, married her. But Vedavyas, his son is Sukhdeva Goswami. Sukhdeva Goswami now he is doing kirtan with the glories of Raj. Vasudeva had written everything down. But who would preach what he has written? Then Sukhdeva Goswami, he started describing these stories of Raj. Raj Bhakti, Raj Prem Bhakti. So he started doing kirtan. So if anyone does tapasya in this dust of Raj, and the fruit is infinite. It can never be, it can never be destroyed. Even if there are many trying to steal, still, this foot dust, this dust of Raja has such samartha capability that even such thieves will not be able to take anything off from this just small particle of dust. Therefore, this Raja has such wonderful glories that you can do sadhana tapasya in all the other places. But if you just remember Vraj and you offer pranams, then immediately you get siddhi. Then what to speak of staying here in Vraj physically? Therefore, not just staying here, but you must be careful to not stay in Vraj like these bed bugs, like these insects. You see in the Yamuna, the turtles, the snakes, in Radhakund, Mansi Ganga, Prem Sarovar, Chandra Sarovar, Man Sarovar, Kusum Sarovar. There's so many different kinds of living entities staying there. They stay with the parents. So they say, if one comes to this, if one becomes entangled, then he forgets Bhagavan, then what will happen? Who do we remember the whole day? Rama, Shama, Jadumadu, all these birds, animals, only remembering them and chanting their names. But you don't remember Prabhu. Even so, by staying in Braj, automatically these names of Radharani, Krishna will enter your ears. Anyhow, you will honor Mahaprasad. And anyhow, the dust of Braj will cover you. Even if you are locked all the windows in your room, still the dust of Braj will enter through these windows and bathe you. This dust has such power. So even if you make a golden palace, still this dust of Braj will enter inside. This will not happen in other places. You see, first Trinavarta, he came. What did he do? Trinavarta, he thought, I'll go to Vraj, and I'll take this dust of Vraj, and I'll distribute this dust of Vraj to everyone. Why? Because everyone's so sad. They're suffering so much. They say, Vajvasis are very happy. So why are they happy? You have to look, have to search. So when he found out that this dust of Raja has so much power, so much Shakti, then he said, alright, now I'll take the dust of Raj and bring as much back as I can. And I'll also bring those who have taken birth in Raj. I not leave them. So they say, when he came, the blades, Trinavarta, what did he do? He took the blades of grass, everything, whatever he could find, he took them away. How? Because he appeared in the form of a twister, tornado. Like we say, when you say, when this puja, Indra, he told Pavan Devata, the wind god, he told everyone, go and destroy Govardhan. And you see how much rain was showered on Giriraj. And so what they do, then I see did Abhishek Giriraj. Now Giriraj was shining so much. Then again this big storm, and again he was dried. Again there was a big storm. This happened for 7 days. Now he becomes effulgent, like this blue sapphire. Giriraj, like Krishna himself. Because you see, all the Giriraj is covered by so much cow dung and dust and all these other things. But what Indra do? He started unleashing so many thunderbolts on Giriraj that all the insects, scorpions, snakes, they all ran away in fear. So they say Indra actually was cleaning Giriraj. So they say anyone who comes to Viraj, directly or indirectly, they're all serving Viraj. They can never be destroyed. So at that time, Sukadeva Swami said, that Vrajaraj has such power, such potency, that it is indescribable. If you do even little sadhana here in Braj, you'll get so much strength, you can realize yourself. So they asked Krishna, the only Rishi Maharshi is here. Ramashi is Samashi, Rajashi is. So who should we take shelter of? Whose ashraya should be accepted? Well, we can also have the samandha with our priyatam. And this relationship will now be broken. We only have this one desire. The life of life, that life of life, this personality who we have attained, will never go far away from us, and neither should we go far away from him. So Krishna knew everything what the gopis wanted. And they only had to speak of one thing, even if they speak it in a roundabout way. So Krishna, he said, today is Vasanta Panchami. On the day of Vasanta Panchami, this is Rituraj, in spring, king of all seasons, Rituraj, he appears. So that time, the Vasanta Panchami is a very auspicious day. And on that day, Durvasa Rishi, he also appeared on this day. This is his birthday. Durvasa Dattatreya, Chandrama, they are actually the manifestations of Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, Mahesh. So they went to test Anusuya Devi. They said, then she got Bhiksha and they said, no, how will you take? They said, you'll have to become naked and give us this Bhiksha. And she said, and she thought, you'll have to give everything without any cloth. Then she said, alright, let me ask my father. Let me ask my husband. The husband said, you don't know who they are. Give them. You see, we came naked in this world. And we leave naked. So they've come to examine you. And she said, alright, I'll give you a bhiksha naked. But on one condition. All of you should become my children. And sit on my lap. If you become babies, then I'll give you this bhiksha. And she was a very chaste lady. Very devoted to her husband. She was a predominant deity. They say all these three Brahma Vishnu Mahesh became small babies. They sat on her lap and they started drinking her breast milk. She started caressing them. She started swinging them in the cradle. So just see. Now they're entangled. So how can they possibly leave? So wherever there's tapasya, there's the Shakti. Then Bhagwan, he himself also is subdued by such prem. He falls on Vasanta Panchami. So they said, go for puja to the Durvasa Rishi, for boga, to Arti, and by serving the Santas, you can please him and have his blessings in Shakti. Or else, it's very difficult to achieve anything from him. attain something from him. So someone said, how can we serve him? He said, your hand, as this Yash is renowned, any person who comes to Vraj, universally literate, still, if he makes anything for Bhagavan, then Bhagavati Purnamasi empowers that person, gives him pure intelligence, makes all proper arrangements. Someone desires the sweets, malpua, halwa, kheer, make whatever you feel like, and take everything and offer to Giriraj. They say, when they listen, you have come from Braj, that I have sent you, then they will become so happy. They will all start wondering, Mahaprasad, send this area parikrama, honor it, and then take that mercy. You will never be miserable in your lives. Because he is Durvasa. They are going to him, all bad desires Durvasa. Durvasana, go away. Will become free from all anarthas. Roksho, prarabdha, karma. Be free from all prarabdha, prarabdha, everything. He'll make one very pure, clean. No Durvasana, wicked desire will stay in that heart. And he doesn't eat anywhere. Well, he just drinks this rasa of Durva grass. And he continues with this tapasya. But this prasad of Vraj, he also likes honoring and relishing. Because Vasanta Panchami is also his birthday, his appearance day. So in Vasanta Panchami, all the Dvajvasis, on the advice of Krishna, they made so many things for Krishna. This is called Amrit Dhara, Madhu Dhara, flow of nectarian honey. They make kheer and where do they bring the sugar from? They dry the honey and they use this honey as sugar for the kheer. And then they powder these fruits. Like you say, dates, they powder dates. And they say they use so many substituents for sugar. They're cooking there. So in this way, they took everything, very nice things to worship. And then they saw Yamuna is so huge, how can the possibly cost Yamuna? So you heard all these leelas. But if you listen to how much ras is in Gurudev's Katha, then you can realize. So when they came on the banks of the Yamuna, then they thought, how can we cross the Yamuna? Then when they were... They thought, let's return and go to Krishna, or else we'll lose so much time. And they say, they start meditating on Krishna by chanting the Gopal Mantra. And Krishna said, wherever you go, you never leave me, huh? At least leave me alone for one day. Still you remember me. You don't leave me alone. And then they said, they know, we're going to, we desire that we bind you, keep you with us. But now how will we cross the Yamuna? And they said, you can swim across. And they said, our sweets then will be ruined. And they said, alright, do one thing. You call a boat, boatman will take you across. And they said, so many millions of people, how can they cross the river in one boat? They said, what can I do? Or should I just take all of you and throw you on the other side? In Ramlila you made a bridge. Kamyavan also this setu banda Rameshwar. So I'll also make a bridge on the Yamuna and take you across. So then Krishna, he said, actually there's no time to build a bridge. Then the gopi said, just by your desire you can build a bridge. Then he said, alright Yamuna Devi, I'll tell something to Yamuna Devi. Just as my father crossed the Yamuna, took me to Gokul, similarly I'll also take you across. So Krishna then, what did he say? He said, oh, go and tell Yamuna Devi that Krishna is a brahmachari. Man, he has never even seen the face of a woman. He's never spoken to them. He has no relationship with any of them. He never even thinks about them. So Krishna is Akuma Brahmachari, lifelong Brahmachari. Then you should tell him not to make way. And they repeated whatever Krishna said. And they saw that Yamuna, she spread to two sides. A beautiful wave was in the middle of the Yamuna. There's so many trees on the banks there. So many creepers. So they all chanting Krishna Kirtan. They chanting Govinda Damodar Madhavedi. And you so many kirtans. And they say they reached the Rasa Rishi's ashram. And there they saw that the Rishi's ashram. So enchanting. It is said that all the devatas, they sweep the floor and they protect these fruits and flowers, they nourish these trees. This place is called Ishapur. Now it's called Ishanpur. Any desire, if you take any desire and go to this place, then your desire will become fulfilled. Therefore, Ishapur was a very exalted place. By going there, then one's heart will automatically become pure. And whatever you desire, even before you ask, you'll have your desires fulfilled. So you say, Durvasari's ashram was there. So lakhs and lakhs of people, Devi Devatas came to observe his birthday. And you say, they're going to offer pranam, offer gifts, all these things. So they all went there, Durvasa Rishi, and they saw Durvasa Rishi, he was very effulgent. And you could see him from even many long distance. And just see how, if you offer anything here, then he'll accept. Just see how near he is to all of us. And say, Durvasa Rishi is accepting all their offerings and eating so much. He took everything away, he ate everything away. And then he blessed everyone, becoming happy. And they returned, they saw that the Yamuna has now closed the way, and how could they again cross the Yamuna? So meanwhile, they, at that time, they see the blessings of Durvasa Rishi, feeding him very nicely. And they said, oh, there's such a nice ashram, Santos here in Braj. By coming here, your heart becomes so happy. You're drowning in social ananda. Seems that we are being absorbed in such premras. I'm realizing how much he loves. This is called Divya Sandesh. So they say, he became so happy seeing this magnanimity. And they say, he said, next time I'll come and glorify Krishna and give this prasad to Krishna as well. So then they took these empty pots. So while returning, some remnants of this prasad had fallen on the ground, so they collected all these things and they were leaving. And then Yamuna was not giving way again, then they again went, oh, Maharaj, how can you cross the Yamuna? Then what did the Rishi say? He said, if you haven't eaten anything in your entire life, you go tell Yamuna that you must make way. If I have not eaten anything in my entire life, if I have not touched any rice, nothing, then give me some way. Not even drank anything, nothing. Then the gopis saw, just see, the Yamunas again made a way free. Just see, like guru, like disciple. So you know, as soon as Durvasa Rishi said, I've not eaten anything, then you see the Yamunas opened up again. Just see, the guru and disciple are speaking in such a like manner. Very surprising. Then he asked someone, that, oh, I've given you so much and you've eaten, and still you said you haven't eaten anything. He said, oh, you offered, you gave, and I offered to my Prabhu. So how have I possibly eaten anything? I haven't eaten anything. You just gave me here and I offered him to there. Offered this to him there. My duty is whatever I get, I offer to Sri Guru. You see the heart of the Santas. You see the Bhagavan, he is the beloved of the Santas. Whatever they take, they offer to Bhagavan. They don't keep anything for themselves. Not that, oh, I'll keep something aside for me and then offer the rest to Bhagavan. So they say, Maharshi Durvasa, he never kept anything for himself. Whatever he attained, he offered everything for Prabhu. He didn't touch anything, keep anything for himself. He didn't keep anything aside for himself. Therefore, he's a Rishi. See, Rishi means that he has such knowledge, realized knowledge, that he doesn't keep anything for himself, doesn't hide anything. Like a crow. You see one crow, he only has one eye. Whatever it gets, it makes sure it goes and hides it somewhere. Then again starts looking for something. Oh, and then whatever it has collected, it forgets where it has kept. Then again starts cawing. Oh, where have I kept whatever I have collected? And so we are also like these crows. We collect so many things, but then we forget. Saying, oh, let me hide something now. Antaryami Paramatma, he has such big eyes. You think he does not see what you are hiding? Where will you hide? Which bank locker? In which well will you hide? So Durvasa, he never did such things. Therefore he said, never accept anything. He said, they took everything in front of you. I haven't eaten anything, he said. I've never taken anything in the first place. I just offered to my beloved. Then Krishna, he spoke of himself as being a brahmachari. So then Durvasa Rishi, he said, brahmachari means one who is always wandering in this realm of Brahma. Means Brahma himself follows him everywhere. So brahmachari is he who has no place for anyone else except Parabrahma in his heart. And he only has this place for Parabrahma in his heart. He is brahmachari. He doesn't touch anyone, meet anyone, speak to anyone. He only has relationship with Parabrahma, Paratpar, Parameshwar. He himself is fulfilled always from within. So who will he possibly touch, hate, love, despise? He is always equipoised. He always gives shelter to everyone. But it doesn't mean that he accepts someone and uses that person as for his own enjoyment. And they say they spoke such nice tattvas to Rajdevs, Durvasa Rishi and Krishna. And then they say, especially Durvasa Rishi, then the gopis thought, today our life is successful because we have attained the association of such Sadguru, Pandit. You must realize this tattvagyan in your heart. And so he made others realize also what he has realized in his own heart. And now that today you listen and then you forget after some time. Why will you forget? You forget because you have no faith. Rishi made the gopis realize this. So then they came and told Krishna, Krishna, Durvasa Rishi said, if I haven't eaten anything, drank anything, then Yamuna should make way. And Yamuna, she starts smiling, and she respectfully welcomed the gopis, and took them on the other side. Before they had to come walking, and while returning, they returned with so much happiness. And then they said, you're going to meet Krishna, so give him my gifts as well. What are those gifts? These beautiful lotus flowers, lotus seeds, and these panifal, these fruits that grow in the water, ornaments, clothes. She gave so many gifts for Krishna. She gave so much that they could not even carry all these things. So when they came to Raj and gave these gifts to Krishna, and Krishna said, did you have darshan? He said, oh Prabhu, you made our life successful. we would have never even thought or imagined how to attain the mercy of a Santa. Therefore, there are many who are wandering in the market bazaar, but they don't realize who is sadhu and how to achieve the station of sadhu. Therefore, without Hari's kripa, how can you possibly achieve the station of Santa, Hari Bhakta? Even if you achieve the station, you will not realize who he is. If Bhagavan is happy, then he will make you have the association of Santa. And then by Bhagavan's desire, these Santas, they impart this Atma Gyan and Paramatma Gyan. Or else, if you just keep wandering here and there, you will not achieve the association of Santa. Because the Santas are not like that. Oh, that go anywhere and then start singing, dancing. Oh, I'm selling this harmonium. You buy this harmonium. Oh, if your stomach is not getting clean, then take this tablets. Your stomach will be clean. So is this what a sadhu santa does by doing kirtan? Sadhu is not like this. So then Guruji said, therefore to achieve the association of santa, you should pray to Bhagavan. When Bhagavan bestows mercy, then he'll help you meet the santas. And then the santas are the great mercy that we use this Bhagavatam again. They have this mitravat-vyavar, very friendly relationship with each other. Then Maharaj, he spoke this verse, O Bhagyam, O Vakyam, Nanda Gopala Jokasam, Yenmitam Paramahindam, Purnam Brahma Sanatanam. This Purnam Brahma Sanatan Swarup, Brahma Swarup, Bhagavan himself. And now he has become dear friend of everyone. He has made everyone qualified. He takes Sakas out cowherding in the early morning, go to all these forests of forests. And this way, he take down his gocharanila. Gocharan means, especially you're trying to control your go senses. Oh, they can be engaged for this Bhagavad Saiva, Bhagavad Gyan. And this way, this siksha is given. Make them ready. So this way, this, our Prabhu makes everything ready in Braj for everyone. So they say, Maharaj, you start doing kirtan. These glories of Raj. And Maharaj started describing every place of the 84-mile Braj. And it was also published in a book. This Brajmandal Parikrama book, where Gurudev himself has written all these glories at different places in Braj. Every year he'd gone Parikrama. Before we used to be 30, 40, 50, 60 people. We'll go walking, sometimes stay overnight somewhere. And sometimes in temples, courtyard of someone's house. And early morning again we'll go on Parikrama, then to Madhukari. Do Kirtan, Harikatha. Sometimes Maharaj will be speaking Harikatha and he's sweating so much. And be fanning him. And sometimes he'll be resting. Like he'd put his head on someone's lap, and some of the brahmachari would be massaging his legs, and this way he'd be speaking Harikatha even then, and then everyone would be weeping so much. In the Vajramandal Parikrama book also, not much is said about all these places, only that it's given in a nutshell. But those who have realized what they've seen in the Lila stories, when they describe these glories, then you'll realize how glorious, how great each of these pastime places of Braj is. And you go to all these different places. Like, you know, you see an 84-mile Braj. You go to every place. Go to Vishwanapur, Barsana. You go to Chikshuli. This Rangiri, Sunera. Karela, Kamai. Uchagao. And so he'll go all these different places of the Sakis. Then describe the glories of all these places. And accept Madhukari there. And then say, spend the night in the home of any Vrajvasi. And then slowly, people become so, they develop so much faith in Gurudev. Because wherever he'd stay overnight, they do kirtan. And people would come there and do katha kirtan. Say, in the early morning, they'd say, oh Maharaj, buttermilk is ready, and we've also made some rotis by our own hands. No, you cannot leave now. At least you take one roti. Maharaj said, no, I'll go to every house, take one roti. I cannot take only from one house. And they say, when the devotees increased, then 3,000, 4,000 devotees would come, and then villagers would make rotis for 3,000 devotees in the early morning. And they'd bring so many big barrels, drums of buttermilk and also gud. And then some places 10-20 villages would combine to make puris. And Surja Kund, Sin Choti Parna Badi Bar, they make so many huge quantities of puris. And say, Maharaj would do such katha kirtan. And there was no such village in Braj. Even in Uchagao, you see, all the pandas there, they did Pushpa Abhishek of Gurudev and gave this title Yuvacharya. So they respected him in such a nice way. Saying, you're the guru of all the Vrajvasis. Big, big acharyas came. But just see how Gurudev was. He had so much such love and affection for all the Vrajvasis. Even now, you see, they have such fond memories of Gurudev. That time I could see by my own eyes how Gurudev and Vrajvasis loved each other so much. Gurudev would say, if these Vrajvasis come to give you something, like some money or something, don't accept. Because they are like our worshipful fathers. They're looking after these Vrajvasis. Looking after the cows, they're doing so much agriculture. And still if you take money from them, they're like our father. So just accept some Madhukari and leave. Don't take more than necessary. And respect them very nicely. Serve them. And even Bhagwan himself will be so happy. We serve these Vrajvasis. In Mathura, we never see. Because there was a hospital near Mathura. And you see, the Vrajvasis will never come and ask for anything. They would never ask for hot water, dalia, nothing. Sometimes Gurudev would also send the brahmacharis to look after these Vrajvasis in the hospital, go and look after them, stay overnight. And sometimes if any sadhu would be hurt so much, he'd get an infection and he'd go in the hospital. And Mohan Maharaj would tell me, come to the hospital. And then we had to put phenyl, cleanse him, and all these worms would come out. Apply bleaching powder and all these things, cleanse his body. Then they say, make him healthy again. And then give him like some fruit juice, sugarcane juice. And they say, make him healthy. And then leave him in the ashram again. Gurudev would say, you can stay in our temple or else go and stay in your ashram again. The heart of a sadhu is like butter. Whole life also it described the glories of Gurudev. It never reached an end. It cannot possibly fully reach the extent. Because at the time there was no such vibe of like, you see, you do bhiksha. And they say, we make some rotis out of this bhiksha and some guests would come. And the brahmacharis would not have any rotis left. So that time we think, oh, these rishis are staying in the forest. Are they eating 5 times a day? Sometimes they chew on dry leaves, chewing on the bark of a tree, drink water. Not that you get Rajbhog and then also do bhagan, bhajan, tapasya, no. whether Katha, they make themselves satisfied. Even hunger, thirst, everything go away by just listening to such Braj Katha. Once. Now it's not so cold, but before it used to be very cold. In the month of Magh, January. Sometimes some santas would come at 12 o'clock in the night. And Gurudev, whatever the brahmacharis had, the clothes they had, their blankets, that time we didn't have anything. We'd give our shawls away to the sadhus. He'd also have one shawl, he'd give that shawl away also. And then everyone would be sleeping in the Natu Mandir. It would be so cold outside. So anyhow, the night was spent. And then in the morning, when they woke up during Mangalarti, then they saw the brahmacharis and nothing. And after Balpok, when they were returning, they said, "Oh Maharaj, you give us one or two brahmacharis, we'll send something back with him for the ashram, some blankets, something." I said, "Oh, we don't want anything. Yesterday night, you gave everything away for us." And they said, "The brahmachari is suffering so much in the cold." And Gurudev said, "Oh, they saw me lying on the streets, in the gullies. So are they not surviving the cold? So many animals out there. So who's looking after these animals? Who's giving them chadar, looking after them? Who's looking after everyone? Those are diseased. Those who are ill. Those who are sick. Everyone is being, Bhagavan is looking after everyone. One should tolerate this happiness, distress, heat, cold, infamy, fame. No need to fear. Now we have Chapan Bhog. 56 items. Tomorrow you may not get anything, even dry thing. So you should be ready for this also." So they became very shy, these people. And then what do? They sent so many truckloads of blankets, shawls, pillows. They were going somewhere, and then they took rest here in the temple and just see them. Thakurji's desire, they gave so many things, and since then I see there was no shortage. Bhagavan, he sees everything. The 56 items. But you should never think about your own self, that, "Oh, I'll go hide something first." And then what will happen? If you eat something like that, then there'll be worms inside. Because that is like stealing. Like before everyone honors Mahaprasad, you go and hide some Mahaprasad in your room. This is like stealing. So what should you do? You should honor Mahaprasad after everyone, everything else has been distributed. This is Paramamrita, this is topmost nectar. You'll never face any difficulty. Therefore, you see how they set the standard. By their behavior, by their ideal. This is one. Whatever is in their heart is one with the words they speak. Not that the words they speak is different from the moods in their heart. This is one. So one day, always ready. Listen, tomorrow.